Okay, this week's Parashas Koirach. Koirach.
Thank you.
Okay, now I could be, you know, I apologize to all of you before. I did not realize that my speaker was not working, so that's why I didn't mute anyone. And there was probably some background noise. Apologize about that, but now I think we got it back and back fixed. All right. Okay, so this week is Parashas Koirach. Now in Koirach, there's the sugya of Machloikis. Koirach wanted to challenge the role of Moshe the Aaron, their leadership. That's a big topic. And then at the end of the parasha, the major chunk of the parasha talks about the mitzvah of Truma. All the various laws of eating Truma. The Kohanim are the ones who obviously receive Truma and have a mitzvah to eat the Truma b'kiddusha uv'tohara. Now, b'zman hazeh, obviously, Kohanim do not eat Truma because the Truma is Tameya. Everyone today is Tamei. Everyone today is Tamei Meis. And the moment the Truma is separated, the moment that even the Chulin, it's already Tamei. So when you're giving Truma to a Kohen, the Kohen, what's he going to do with it? It's Tamei. And it is an Isser, I think it's an Isser Misa B'dei Shemayim, to eat Truma Tameya. So we have no choice today in Eretz Yisrael. All produce, all products of the earth were mafris truma, and it's destroyed. It's just basically thrown in the garbage. It's basically destroyed.
I think they let it run by itself.
Right. They don't actually burn it. You're supposed to really burn. I don't know. You're supposed to really burn truma tamea. But we don't do that today because I'm not sure it's that. I don't think it's deraisa today. We don't have I'm not sure. I don't think it's deraisa today, according to all opinions. So they don't burn it. They put it aside and they let it decay. Now, what? Yeah, of course. Neretz Yisrael, non chutz
aretz. What they do is they give it to the zoo, which is owned by a kohen.
They give it to a zoo, it's owned by a kohen. The animals eat it.
Right.
That's what they really do. Okay, could be, I don't know, I'm not familiar with the halachas. Okay. Now there are a lot of The animals are allowed to eat it, but they have to do beer. You have to destroy it, they destroy by giving it to animals. Okay, could be. I don't know, I don't know these halachas. I believe that. In order to talk about this, sugya, about eating chuma, let's ask one of the most popular questions, the most basic questions come across in the beginning of Shas. What is the first Mishnah in Masechta Brachos? If you go to the Sima Shas, they're going to be Mechabed, a big Rashiva to start Shas all over again. Me'emosai koirin shma ba'arvis. At what moment in time does the Zman Kriya Shema begin? What is the earliest time in the day when a person can recite Kriya Shema? So the Mishnah, instead of telling us the time, instead of telling us when there are three small stars, instead of telling us how many minutes after sunset, or telling us any details, it says something very interesting. If you want to know the earliest Zman that one can fulfill his mitzvah d'oraisa to recite Kriya Shema, it's b'sha'ah, at the time, Shehakoyhanim, Nichnosin, they enter Le'echol Bitrumasan. When the Koyhanim enter to eat their Truma. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains, and before everyone there explains, that Koyhanim are only allowed to eat Truma in a state of Tahara. What happens if a Koyhan is Tomei? He came in contact with the dead, or with someone who was in contact with the dead, or in contact with a dead animal, or had some type of bodily emission, whatever it may be, so he has to go through the proper process of tahara. If it's for a dead man, a dead person, he has to have the water of the paraduma. If it's just in contact with the person who came in contact with, if he came in contact with a dead animal, something like that, so then he only needs to go to mikvah. But the very end of the process is always the same. He goes to the mikvah and he has to wait. he has to wait until the sun sets and three medium stars come out. It's not enough just to finish off the process of tahara by going to the mikvah. When you come out of the mikvah, you're not finished. Going to the mikvah just reduces the tumah from an intense form to a very light form. The person has the status of a sheni, and tumah can become tamei, can become a shlishi, a level of shlishi. If a person who comes out of the mikvah, he has the status of a sheni. If he were to touch the tumah, he would in essence contaminate the tumah. So he has to wait until the sun sets and the stars comes out, and now his tumah, the last part of his tumah, evaporates. Herev shemesh. Go to the mikvah by day, wait until the, and then, let's say he came in contact with a dead animal. So he is a rishon. An animal is an av. The carcass of an animal is an av hatumah. He came in contact, he is a rishon. He goes to the mikvah. The moment he comes out of the mikvah, he becomes a sheni. His tumah is removed from being a rishon to a sheni, and it's a very different, it's a lightweight sheni. That tumah of sheni will evaporate in the evening when the sun sets and the stars come out. When that moment happens, the kohanim, who are tameh, nichnasin, they enter. Where do they enter? They enter their homes, I guess. Nichnasin, it's not so clear what it means they enter. Le'echol, to eat, bitru masan, if a fellow Yisrael gave them truma, and they have it in storage, now that the stars have come out, he can go into his home and he can eat the truma. The moment when the kohanim who are tameim, who have gone to the mikvah, and are waiting for Erev Shemesh, that moment when they're about to enter, when they enter their homes to eat the truma, is the moment when everyone else in Klal Yisrael can now say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now, what's the obvious question? Why are the Kohanim also should be saying at that moment in time, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? They're privileged characters. They don't have to say Shema, only we have to say Shema. Everyone knows that once the Zman of Kriya Shema arrives, stop what you're doing and say Kriya Shema. The most important thing is to say Kriya Shema. You're not allowed to begin a meal. You're not allowed to begin any activities. Once the Zman Kriya Shema arrives, you have to freeze. Stop whatever you're doing. The most important thing is to recite Kriya Shema. Today, in the modern world, why are we not machmir? So the truth is, there are certain times that we are machmir. Although the Baalei Halacha are careful, they don't engage in activities that are very demanding and take up a lot of time to sit down to eat a meal until they first recite Kriya Shema. Go to a wedding. It's not so simple that you're allowed to sit down and eat the meal. Go to a wedding, and the wedding goes past Seis HaKuchavim. And now it's ready this month when you can daven Ma'ariv and recite Kriya Shema. And they're now about to serve the meal. It's not so simple that you can say, oh no, let me go sit down now and eat the first course, the second course, and then when they start dancing, I'll go into the back and we'll find the minyan for Ma'ariv. Who says you ought to do that? Once the Zman Kriya Shema has arrived, you have an obligation to recite Kriya Shema, and you're not allowed to sit down to a meal before you recite Kriya Shema. Today we're very lenient in a lot of these matters because we have set times. We go to shul, we have shuls, and we have zmanim. We have a zman kavua to daven Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10:30, whatever it may be. And because we're on a very fixed calendar, it's as if someone is reminding us, don't forget to say Kriya Shema. And the activities that we engage in do not necessarily control us to such a degree where we feel we're going to forget to daven Ma'ariv. So today we're very, very lenient in these matters, very lenient. But according to the letter of the law, once the Zman Kriya Shema arrives, this is priority one. So and you're not allowed to sit down to a meal. So the question here is, everyone asks this question, the very, very first words of Shas. Me'emosai koirin Kriya Shema ba'arvis. When do we begin to recite Kriya Shema? When is the earliest time to recite Kriya Shema? The answer is B'sha Shakoyhanim Nichnasin Leechol Bitrumasan. Koyhanim were Tanaim who went to Mikvah, are waiting for Erev Shemesh, the moment when they are permitted to eat Truma, when their Tuma of being a Sheni dissipates. That's the moment of Tzeis HaKochavim. That's the moment when we can now begin to recite Kriya Shema. Question, if we have to say Kriya Shema, they also have to say Kriya Shema. So what are they doing eating their truma? They should first say Kriya Shema with us. Come, Kohanim, where are you going? You nichnasim lechel b'trumasan? You're going to the wrong shul is this way, not that way. You're walking with him in the street. The Zman is 8 o'clock on the dot. You're walking to shul, and they're walking into their house to go eat their truma. Excuse me, Mr. Cohen, don't you think you should come to shul and daven marvin say kriya shema? You're not going to go eat truma now. What's going on over here? How can the Mishnah make such a statement which is totally wrong? It's totally, this is not the way we do things. We have to say kriya shema, you have to say kriya shema. What are you going to eat your truma? Isn't this a good question? This is a very, very famous question. Everyone deals with this question. It's a tough question. So someone to give the following answer. The following answer is, eating, when it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to sit down to a meal. We're talking about eating a meal, a shel reshus. Dinner. You want to go to Essen on Coney. You want to go to Prime Grill, I don't know what we'll name these fancy restaurants, Wolf and Lamb, you want to go to Reserve Cut, Abigail's, you want to go to some real nice restaurant and have a delicious, sumptuous meal. There's no mitzvah to eat food. Whoever said there's a mitzvah to eat? Even if it's a su'udas mitzvah, even if you'll tell me you're going to a simashas, you're going to a wedding, you're going to a bar mitzvah, you're going to some type of sudas hoidah. So very nice. There's an event, a person became a bar mitzvah, there's someone got married, someone making a siyum, there's a pidyon haben, there's a bris, whatever sudah. The sudah is secondary to the event. The event is the mitzvah. There was a pidyon haben, and the pidyon haben is accompanied by a sudah. There's a chasana. The chas is accompanied by a suda. The meal is not, you're not eating food that's sacred. You're eating ordinary food. The food's not healthy. It's not good for you. But, you know, it becomes elevated because of the event. The event is a holy event. That doesn't compare to saying the words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But let's say it's matzah, achilas matzah, lil pesach. Let's say a person for whatever reason did not daven ma'ariv. Or he daven ma'ariv early. Pesach night, you daven ma'ariv early, before the zman. And now, you want to get a good night's sleep, you want to get up early, pesach, you want to eat this, you want to do the seder as soon as possible. So the truth is, you really can't do it. You have to wait until the Kiddush, whatever. Let's just talk theoretically. And now you want to eat the matzah, and then you're waiting for the moment of Tzeis HaKoychav, whatever it may be. Let's say, make believe, it's the moment of Tzeis HaKoychav is 8 o'clock, and you did not yet say Kriya Shema, and you did not yet fulfill the only mitzvah deraisa that we have, Bizman Hazeh, of eating, which is matzah. What do you do first? What do you do first? Halacha l'maisa. A person is going to eat matzah and kriya shema. The moment arrives. Do you have an obligation to first recite kriya shema and then eat matzah? Or are you allowed to eat matzah first and then recite kriya shema? They're equal. It doesn't appear that one should be better than the other. And in fact, maybe you'll say, well, what was it, Tadir v'she'ena Tadir, Tadir Kaidim? You want to make that argument that you say Kriya Shema first? That gets into a whole topic of discussion of the rules of Tadir. That might be a very strong argument. Tadir v'she'ena Tadir, Tadir Kaidim? I don't know. I really don't know the answer, but the way what I'm reading over here in Rabbi Dvorkis, or he's quoting a lot of different ideas, there's an argument being expressed by many of the Rishonim to answer this question is that eating truma is like eating matzah. Truma is a chefza d'mitzvah. It's like kodshei kalim. It is sanctity. When you give truma to a kohen, what you're giving the kohen is sacred. You give it a degree of sanctity. It's like kodshei kalim, eating from Hashem's table. And it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, according to many Rishonim, to eat truma. So you have a mitzvah of eating truma, and you have a mitzvah of reciting Kriya Shema. They're both mitzvahs d'oraisa. It's a very good question. Why don't we still say the rule of Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir Tadir koidem? So that has to be addressed. Possibly, that's only when it's part of a Seder. When you say the rule Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir Tadir koidem is when you have them lined up. You're doing it as part of an order of the sequence. These two mitzvahs, they're not part of a sequence. You know, if you're going to lane, you're going to lane from the Sifrei Torah. There's a Seder. We're going to lane Parashas HaShavua. We're going to lane Parashas. We're going to lane Chanukah. We're going to lane Rosh Chodesh. Okay, we're having an order. We're putting things in order. We're going to do three things in order. Oh, then you follow the rule of Tadir Vishayna, Tadir, Tadir, Kaida. But when you're just doing things that have not really related one to another, there's no relationship one to another, then you don't necessarily say Tadir Vishayna, Tadir, Tadir, Kaida. And I think a better answer would be is that when it's not an obligation, then in fact you do what's not usual. For example, lighting Hanukkah candles in the Beis HaKnesses versus lighting candles at home. This is a side point to explain why there's not a really problem with Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir. There's a very popular answer. Why is it that most people in the Beis HaKnesses first the shuls, once upon a time when the shuls would make Havdalah, why is it in shul first you light Hanukkah candles and then you make Havdalah, but when you come home first you do Havdalah and then you light Hanukkah candles? Why is the order reversed? And the answer is because when you go home you have an obligation to light Hanukkah candles and you have an obligation to make Havdalah. Two obligations. When you have an obligation, then the rule of Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir kicks in. What do you do every single Shabbos? You light Havdalah. Havdalah goes first, then Chanukah candles. In shul, why do you light Chanukah candles? It's a minhag. There is no obligation to light Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses. It is a minhag. A minhag, you don't follow the rules of Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir Tadir Kodem, therefore you do what's more choviv, what is more precious. Chanukah candles, it's unique, it's fresh, it's the season. So then you do Chanukah candles first, and then you do Havdalah. Another example, what on Purim, what do you do first? Kriyas HaTorah and Megillas Esther. Which one comes first in the morning? Kriyas HaTorah. Purim morning, your first lane, you lane in the Parashas B'Shalach Vayovei Amalek, and then you read the Megillah. What about Shabbos Chalamoid, Shir HaShirim, Koheles, Rus? What do you do first? First you do the Megillah, Rus, Shir HaShirim, or Koheles, and then you lane. Why is Purim different than Shabbos Chalamoid and Shuas? The answer is because there's no obligation to lane Rus, Koheles, and Shir HaShirim. It's a minhag. Megillah is a choiva, is an obligation. When something is an obligation, then we follow the rule Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir Tadir Kodem. We lane first, then we do what is rare. But when you have no obligation to lane these Megillahs, it's nothing more than a custom. So then then the rules don't apply. We do what's more chaviv. Do Kohanim have an obligation to eat truma every single day? Absolutely not. There is no one that will tell you they have an obligation. Unheard of. Whenever they get it, if someone is kind enough to give them truma, oh, I have now a mitzvah to eat truma. If I don't get the truma, I don't get the truma. There's no set zman to eat truma. Whenever I get truma, I get truma. There's no obligation to eat truma. Does the kohen have an obligation to recite Kriya Shema? He certainly does. He certainly does. The kohen must recite Kriya Shema every single night. So now he has in front of him two mitzvahs. The mitzvah to eat truma and the mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema. So what are you going to do first? You're going to tell me Tadir v'she'enu, Tadir kaidim? No. The rules don't apply in this case because you don't have no obligation to eat truma. If you get truma, so then you eat truma. If you don't get truma, you don't need truma. It's like Koheles, Shir Hashirim, and Rus. There's no obligation. Today we're going to do it. Oh, you're going to do, but there's no obligation. There's no such thing as Tadir v'she'enu, Tadir kaidim. Do whatever you want to do first. Oh, but now it's Zman to say Kriya Shema. I have another mitzvah in front of me, another mitzvah deraisa. So you could do it first. There's no difference. This, according to this answer, what would be the night of Pesach? What would then be the night of Pesach? When you have in front of you a mitzvah to eat matzah and a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema, here, Taka, you would say, Tadir v'she'enu, Tadir kaidim. First say Kriya Shema and then eat the matzah. Then the rule of Tadir v'she'enu, Tadir indeed would kick in. Okay, so far, so good. So far, we have explained, we have a question. You're walking down the street with your friend. And now it's coming to the moment of Tzeis HaKoychavim, which is 8 o'clock on the dot. And you go to the left and he goes to the right. You go to Shul to Daven Marv and say Kriya Shema, and he goes home to eat the Truma. Where are you going? Don't you also have to say Kriya Shema? Yeah, but I have another mitzvah. I have a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat truma. Therefore, a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat truma is equal to Kriya Shema. And being that these rules of tadir v'she'enu tadir do not apply because I don't have to eat, I don't have to go, it's not specific to tonight. It's just a general obligation. Whenever I have an opportunity, the rules do not apply, so I'll die. I have two mitzvahs at the same time. I'll do which one that's more chaviv to me. And since it doesn't happen every single day that I have truma, it's mochav, I can go. That's right. Nichnasin le'echol b'trumasam. Hayaluchot v'hayaluchot. Don't compare this to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you now have to sit down to a meal before you eat, before you recite Kriya Shema, because those meals are not meals that are d'oraisa. Those meals, it may be that the mitzvah was a d'oraisa, and the meal accompanies the mitzvah, but the eating of the food itself, is nothing special about eating the food. The food is elevated because the food is being accompanied a mitzvah, but the food itself is not sacred. But truma itself is sacred. It's a fundamental difference. Okay? So this is a very simple answer to the question. However, there's a very big problem with this answer. Because not everyone agrees that there's a mitzvah to eat truma. And this is a shocking thing I'm going to tell you. This is a total shock to me. And really, that's why I mentioned before, there's another mitzvah in this week's parasha about guarding the Beis HaMikdash. And let me be makdim with that. It says in this pasuk of Leman Lo, in this week's parasha, Leman Lo Yikrivu Zar V'Tamei LeMikdash. Okay, in the pasuk we learn, the pasuk in this week's parasha, Korach, tells about the Rambam learns in this pasuk that there's a mitzvah for Kohanim and Levim to guard the Beis HaMikdash. I remember when I was a child, I went to Washington, D.C. to the tomb of the unknown soldier. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly, whatever it was referred to. Did anyone ever go there? Did anyone ever go to the changing of the guard? The changing of the guard, the tomb of the unknown soldier. They have this, they must pay millions of dollars in the United States of America to support this system, this whole network of soldiers that are trained specifically never to crack a smile. And if you go on YouTube, you can look at all the different types, different lists of people, different video clips of people trying to tease them to laugh, to crack a smile. both here in the United States at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and in front of Buckingham Palace. Those guys wearing strimals and the red coats. And there's a whole bunch of them. And I remember when with Pirche, we went with a Pirche group now on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. We went, it was a great trip. And the guys were a little bit over the top and they were chopping the soldiers. You know, this goes back like, you know, a different lifetime. And they were chopping the guards and the guards started to scream. Woo! They're trained, they have these very deep voices and everyone got so scared. if you chop at them, they take out their weapon, bayonet, whatever it's called, it's really, they're really scary guys. These guys, that's part of the job. They if you misbehave at the ceremony, they scream at you and they point their weapons at you. They intimidate you. And this happens literally, of what I understand, every single day. Every single day people go there. It's like a game. It's crazy. The whole thing is crazy. No respect. The whole thing is a total game, what goes on there. People, they drop water bottles. They drop their water bottles and it rolls in front of the soldier while he's marching. So they kick it away. They have a whole protocol how to deal with tourists that don't behave in a dignified way. Okay, there's something to it. Okay, in Buckingham Palace, there's also the Queen. She has a whole network of soldiers who march and guard, and people come to watch.
It's the horse guards. It's not at the palace.
What?
The horse guards.
The horse guards? Okay, it's very interesting. And obviously, see, even today in the modern world, there's something called guards who stand there for the purpose of giving honor. L'chavoid u'l'seferes. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Mesechta Tamid, it talks about guards. And I don't remember all of the details. We learned this not so long ago. How many guards of Levim? There were guards of Kohanim. I think there were three Kohanim, and the rest were Levim, if I'm not mistaken. By every single gate, there was a guard that stood there. What's the purpose of these guards? Why are they there? Why are they there? So there's a Machlekes Rishonim. Some will tell you they're there for no other purpose than kovod. Just like in front of a paltoin shel melech lahav, by a melech bos of adam, there are guards, even though there's no need for security. The perimeter is secure. They've secured the perimeter from far, like the Capitol. You ever see what the Capitol looks like right now? Washington, D.C., if you go and look at the videos, the Capitol is literally fenced off. The whole since January 6th, they fenced it off from far. You can't get anywhere near the Capitol. Massive piece of land has been completely fenced off. And they're paying you taxpayer money, crazy amount of money, to secure the Capitol from the invaders. But even though the perimeter is secure, they still have people standing right by the front door, even though there's no need because the perimeter is secure from far, far away. So why are those guys standing there? L'chavoid u'l'sifaris. Dignity. Beautiful. There's something to it. There's something to dignity. So many Rishonim learn there's no issue in the Beis HaMikdash, someone's going to break in and steal anything. It's just a dignified presence of human beings standing Shemira. But many Rishonim strongly disagree. It's not about Kovod. There's a purpose. They're there to make sure people who are Tomei do not enter. This is not about security. This is not about honor. It's about sanctity. It's a whole new world. The Beis HaMikdash, we don't appreciate this. We really don't. We look at it, it's your problem. We don't look at coming into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to contaminate it. We look at it, it's your problem. You want to go into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, so you got a problem. The person is Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. He's in trouble. or he's chayiv karis. Maybe I think he's chayiv karis. He's bringing a carbon b'shoyeg. He's chayiv karis. That's your problem. The same way no one is preventing a person from going to a restaurant, a non-kosher restaurant, and eating chaylev and being chayiv karis, no one's stopping a person from going into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah and being chayiv karis. There may be metal detectors. We're not going to let you go in with a weapon. We're not going to let a person walk in with shoes. We're not going to let you walk in with your wallet. Okay, there are certain protocols of safety and security, but no one's going to ask you, are you vaccinated? Before you go into the Beis HaMikdash, no one's going to ask you, are you tamei? No one's going to ask you that. When you go into the Beis HaMikdash, no one's going to ask you, are you tamei? That's your problem. We'll ask you, are you carrying a weapon? Are you a danger to society? Are you on a no-fly list? Are you healthy? Maybe you have a contagious disease. We don't want you coming in here with a contagious disease. 100%! Because on the head, you could have all the questions. Like in the airport, we'll do profiling. We'll do profiling. What's the term called? Profiling. What's the first word? There's a word that precedes it. Racial profiling before you get on the airplane. Gesundheit.
You mean like terrorist profiling?
Yeah. Does anyone ask you when you go on an airplane, are you tamei? Did you go to the mikveh today? Does anyone ask you those questions? No. I couldn't care less. That's not a danger to us. If you have a problem, if you're tamei and you're going into a zone where you're not allowed to be, that's your problem, not our problem. Today, you're going on the Harabayas. No one's asking you, are you tamei or not? There are guards there that you shouldn't come and you shouldn't go provoke anyone. Maybe they'll be mocked, but don't take with you a sitter, because if you're going to start davening on the Harabayas, you're going to provoke all the Arabs, and then who knows what's going to happen. So they'll be mocked, but on safety. But no one's asking you, are you tamei? Did you go to the mikvah? That's your problem. You want to be nizer and these in yonim, that's up to you. So here, it's unbelievable that Rishonim say when the Beis HaMikdash, it's mamish, just the opposite. The issue is not security. The issue is not public safety. Do you have a contagious disease? That's not the issue. The issue is tuma. Are you tame? That's the only thing the guards care about. Because if you are contaminated, you are defiling the sanctity of this makom. The guards are not here to provide honor, kavod, and teferes. This is not a house. This is not a palace. This is not the White House. This is the Beis HaMikdash. And what counts over here is tumah. So the guards, they serve a very important purpose, that they should not allow people who are tamei to enter the perimeter and contaminate this makom. It's a whole different world. And what is the nafka mina? And this is a very controversial topic. Bizman hazeh, okay, 2021 limisparam, is there a mitzvah de'oraisa to position shomrim around? What? Right. To position shomrim to guard the Har Habayis, to guard the Har Habayis. Is there a mitzvah de'oraisa? So the Medayik and the Rambam, the Rambam doesn't say it explicitly. Rambam, we make midiyukim this way, that way. And the Rambam, it's mashma, no, there is no mitzvah de'oraisa. We know that because the Rambam, when it comes to the mitzvah of Moire Mikdash, there's a mitzvah b'zman hazeh to fear, to show fear and respect for the Mikdash. He says it explicitly, that it applies b'zman hazeh. And then in the next halacha, when he talks about the mitzvah of appointing shomrim, guardians, to stand by the gates of the Azora, the Rambam doesn't conclude that it applies bizman hazeh. So from that, many want to be medayik. The Kesef Mishnah wants to be medayik. The Rambam holds that bizman hazeh is no mitzvah of shmira, bizman hazeh. And there are other Rishonim, but some Rishonim explicitly say that there is a mitzvah. We don't accept them lahalacha. But there are Rishonim that say that Bizman Hazeh, there's a mitzvah de'oraisa to appoint Levim and Kohanim to guard the Mikdash, even though we cannot go in today to the Mokim on the Har HaBayis, from far. So even though they're not in the correct position, the mitzvah is primarily to be by the gates of the Azara, and that we can't, there is no Azara, there are no gates to the Azara, the Azara has been destroyed. But from far, from outside the Har HaBayis, yeah, there should be Kohanim and Levim guarding the entry points to the Har HaBayis Bizman Hazeh, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Abdullah, like in front of Buckingham Palace, and in front of the guard, changing of the guards by the tomb of the unknown soldier. That's what there should be by the Har HaBayis. 24/7, Kohanim and Levim, like it says in the Mishnah. Now, obviously, we do not accept this as practical halacha, but this is serious business. The Rishonim that say this, the Aderes. The Chenir Dasu Aderes. The Aderes one of the Rishonim. Okay, the Chehu said this is the Yesh Hagoyim of Moshe. Okay, he quotes over here from the, this Gelbstein. Okay, this is an Acharon. He's the one that's collecting all of the Rishonim. Agoin Rab Moshe Gelbstein Zechasad Levracha Besifrei Mishkanos Avir Yaakov Kosav Lachadesh Shemitzas Shmir HaMikdash Ayidei Kohanim Levim Kayemes Gam Bizman Hazeh Ushmir Zu Kevon Sheyev Shalakayim Bemekom Shenikbu Bemesach Tatamim Umitzvah Shehem Al Har HaBayis Efshel Ledaita Lekayim Bishas Hadchak Gam Besamach Lahar HaBayis Ayidei Akos HaMarovi Umitoyach Kach Humatzia, he recommends she yispalalu bikvius al yidei hakoisel. I guess what he means around all the entry points of the Har HaBayis, which we have today access to. Minyan shel kohanim ulevim kelekai mitzvah hashmira v'chein dat nira daita shel hu aderes. Okay, I'm not familiar. Okay, that's what he ulam. Then he goes on a long. Rav Dvorkis goes on. He cites a long list of achrenim based on diukim and rishonim that strongly disagree. They disagree, no such thing. There's no mitzvah bizman hazeh deraisa to appoint Levim. And what is the Nafkamina really about? What is the shorish of the Nafkamina? Is it l'chovoid or is it to guard the sanctity? If the primary purpose of guarding the Mikdash is to give honor, then today there's no mitzvah because there's nothing to give honor to. There's nothing there. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there's nothing to go. But if the purpose is to guard the Mokoim, to not allow people who are, not to contaminate, to guard the sanctity of the Mokoim, if the purpose of the Levim and the Kohanim that stood by the Beis HaMikdash, was Mansha Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim, they were there not for safety and security in public health, but they were there when you walked past them. They asked you, can I see your papers, please? I want to see if you have a receipt from the mikvah. Did you get a receipt from the mikvah from your local rabbi that you are tohor and you're not a mitzoira? You're not a zov. You didn't come in contact with the dead. You didn't come in contact with dead animals. You're not a Balkari. I want to see your papers to make sure that you are tohar. We don't tolerate people contaminating the sanctity of the Mokoyim. If that is the primary reason, then it would apply Bizman Hazeh. Because we pass like the Rambam, Kedusha Rishoyna Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Osir Lavoy. The sanctity of the Mokoyim today is no different than it was before. Once it has sanctity, it always has sanctity. And therefore, we have an obligation to preserve, to guard its sanctity. Listen, you can't stop the Arabs from going there, so no, that's not, we can't do anything about that. But the people, our own, from Amcha, our people, so could you imagine today, we cause a firestorm today, you would put up, the Rabbanut would put up Shomrim around the entrances of anyone who wants to go onto the Har HaBayis, they would ask for your papers. You need an Ishur. After you go to the mikvah, you have to have been quarantined until Harav Shemesh. It would start a whole new branch of government to do all the paperwork to make sure people who are Tameim don't enter into the Har HaBayis. That would be, if you hold it, the primary purpose of having the Shomrim is to guard the sanctity. Now, all of that I'm telling you over here now is all a hakdama to what I want to tell you now about Truma. So we start off today with this issue. It says in the first Mishnah, so the question was, excuse me, what are the Kohanim doing eating Truma? They should also be saying Kriya Shema. So he answered, well, eating Truma is a mitzvah. Right? It's a mitzvah. It's no less of a mitzvah than saying Kriya Shema. And there's no din here of a Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, because there's no chiv to do it today. It's like Koheles and Rus and Chanukah candles and Shul. You can do it first. Now here's the issue. This all works on the assumption that eating a Truma is a mitzvah. But guess what? There are many Rishonim that say an incredible chiddush. There's no mitzvah to eat truma. There's no such thing. There's a mitzvah for the Yisraelim to give the truma to the Kohanim. The only mitzvah there is in the Torah for the Kohanim, you're not going to get a load of this, is to make sure the truma does not become tame. Ushemartem es terumoisai. Doesn't say to eat it. Nowhere in the Torah does it say the kohen should eat it. There's a mitzvah, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvahs. They make the bracha, but they don't make the bracha. They make the bracha. There's a difference between a lamed and an al. Lihalikner. Do you sometimes make the bracha with a lamed? Sometimes make the bracha al. It's all totally what the bracha is. But there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah is, it should not become tame. That's the mitzvah. Now listen. Now, what is the ultimate way to guarantee the truma does not become tame? To eat it, because once you eat it, problem solved. There's nothing to worry about. It's gone. If you destroy it, you're over on a terrible avera of destroying kachem. You're not allowed, there's the other pasuk, you're not allowed to destroy, I don't know the pasuk, you're not allowed to destroy kachem. If you burn kachem, it's a terrible avera. You're not allowed to burn kachem, you're not allowed to destroy kachem, and you're certainly not allowed to contaminate kachem. So what do you do with it? Put it on the shelf. Okay? Guard it. Guard it for dear life that it should not become tamei. Truma is not like meat. Meat expires. Kodshei kodashim, you have one day and one night. Kodshim kalim, 2 days and the night in between. Everything has a span. Truma, there's no time limit. You can keep the truma in your kitchen closet forever. Just make sure it's under lock and key, that no one who is contaminated touches it. That's the mitzvah. Guard it that it should not become contaminated. What is the ultimate way to guard it? Eat it. Because when you eat it, it can no longer become tamei, because it's been consumed. That's the mitzvah. That, according to some of the Rishonim, that's the mitzvah. They need to say this to answer a Rambam. The Rambam says a tremendous chiddush. This is a big sugya. The Rambam says, Kohanim can be yoytzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah with truma. If you give a kohen, here's truma. Here's some grain. I just came back from my silo. Had a good year. I separated my truma. And guess what? You're the lucky kohen. I can give this to any kohen that I want. Here is a whole collection, a whole big basket or whatever it is, a whole crate of truma, of grain, all for you. You are going to be the recipient, and you make a bracha. You don't make a bracha, give truma. Here's the kohen truma. The kohen can take this truma. Now, Chazal said truma is the really mishulchan gavoya. he can take it, he can make it into matzah, for Lil Pesach, and can make the bracha asher kedeshon b'mitzvah of zvanu al achilas matzah. He would make three brachas, you should know. Good trivia question. How do you ever have a hechatimsa where a person can make on matzah three blessings? Lil Pesach. We only make two. We make asher hamoitzi lecha min ha'aretz, and asher kedeshon b'mitzvah of zvanu al achilas matzah. If it's truma, and you're a koyein, you make three brachas. Asher hamoitzi lecha min ha'aretz, asher kedushanu b'mitzvayis v'tzvanu al achilas teruma, and asher kedushanu b'mitzvayis v'tzvanu al achilas matzah. All of the achroinim esakash on the Rambam, how can you say this? Ein oisin mitzvayis chavilois chavilois. You're not allowed to do, it's a violation, you're not allowed to do bundle up mitzvahs. You can't go, the mitzvah is truma. You can't bundle mitzvahs together. This is a violation. But we started today, we came to answer the kasha. What was our kasha? How could the very first Mishnah, Masech, and Shas say, Me'eim asai kadech lechlechon b'trum asan, me'eim asai kadech kriyashma ba'arvis, Bishah Shahakahanam Nichnas Nachal Bitumasan. Question, where are you going, Kayin? Come with me, the Ma'ariv. We have to dive in Ma'ariv now. You're going home to eat? Oh, eating is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, in Lil Pesach, how can the Rambam say you can be Mekayim the mitzvah Achilas Matzah? Ain ois a mitzvah, it's chavilois, chavilois. So the Achronim say, whoever told you eating truma is a mitzvah? Whoever told you that? There's no mitzvah to eat truma. The mitzvah of Machol said is to give the truma to the kohen, and even though the kohen he makes the bracha, it's not a mitzvah. The only mitzvah the kohen has to make sure it does not become ushmarten es terumoisai. Guard my truma. So when he eats the truma, there's no greater shmira. You put the truma out of its misery, because now it can never become tamei. It was consumed. There's no mitzvah. Oh, there's no mitzvah, it's just a matter of making sure it doesn't become tamei, but there's no mitzvah. Now there's no longer a violation of mitzvah is chavilos, chavilos. If eating matzah was a mitzvah, eating truma was a mitzvah, and eating matzah is a mitzvah, you can't do b'vas achas. But if you're telling me that there's no mitzvah, the only mitzvah is just to make sure it does not become tamei, so now there's no longer violation of enos and mitzvah is chavilos, chavilos. So therefore, go right ahead and use the truma as matzah. Oh, but now our original question will be reinstated. If you're telling me there's no mitzvah to eat truma, the only mitzvah to make sure it does not become tamei, and that's why you can use it for your achilas matzah, Lil Pesach. So what does it say in the first Mishnah in Shas? Me'emosai koirin shma ba'arvis. When do you recite shma? B'shah shehakoyhanim nichnasin le'echol b'trumasin. Remember the scene. The scene is you're walking down the street. It's 7:57. Everyone knows what that feels like. Ma'ariv is at 8 o'clock. Tseis hakoyhanim is 8 o'clock. And you're walking down the street with the kohen. And you're going to make a right to go to shul. And he's making a left to go to his home to eat the truma. You say to him, Mr. Kohen, where are you going? It's time to daven ma'ariv. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It says, sakacham, I'm going to eat my truma. What do you mean? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to eat until you say kriya shema. No. Only you're not allowed to eat a sud of chol, or even a sudas mitzvah, because the sudas mitzvah is not, the food is not mamish a mitzvah. It's a sud which accompanies a mitzvah. I'm doing the real deal. I'm eating truma. Truma is a mitzvah, no less than the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And therefore, I can do whatever I want first. In fact, I can do this first, just like you light Hanukkah candles in shul before you make Havdalah, and just like you lay Megillas Rus before you do Kriya Satorah. I can do this one first. Excuse me, there's no mitzvah to eat Truma. Who told you there's a mitzvah to eat Truma? There is no mitzvah to eat Truma. The mitzvah is that your truma shouldn't become tamei. And this is a mitzvah, they say kriya shema. So the question now has been reinstated. So we got a big problem. And this indeed is a big problem. And the answers aren't too great. I mean, whatever. But the answer has to be. I mean, this is something which is. I'm making a suggestion. The answer is has to be according to this approach. The mitzvah of making something sure that does not become tameh, it would appear, has kedima to kriya shma. Kriya shma is not going to get stale. If it's taka true, if it's true that the mitzvah of eating truma is not a mitzvah to eat the truma, the mitzvah of eating truma is just a guarantee that the truma does not become tameh, every moment that you do not eat that truma is in grave danger. Kriya Shema is not in grave danger. We'll say it later. What's the difference? You say Kriya Shema, there's no grave. You'll forget? We're not concerned about forgetting. Whoever said we're concerned about forgetting? You'll say you have an obligation, you'll do it. But if you're going to go and make a right and go with this fellow to shul to say Kriya Shema, who's watching the truma? Who's guaranteeing the truma doesn't become tamei? Ushimartem es trumosai. There are a lot of dangers out there in this world. And the first mission, it would then appear, according to this approach, that the very first law taught to us in Shas, in the Talmud Bavli, in the middle, in the Mishnah, in the Mishnayis, me'emosai karud shema ba'arvis, b'shaw, shakoyhanim nichnosin le'echol b'trumosan. It's laying out the very first Mishnah in Shas. Different people have different obligations in this world, different priorities. If everything is good by you, the very first moment available, say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But there's a group of people called Kohanim. They also have an obligation to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But they have another mission in this world, and that is to guarantee the sanctity of Klal Yisrael. And that comes out in many different ways. Our Hakdama was, look at the mitzvah of Shemira in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a mitzvah derived that have three Kohanim and a collection of Levim. It's deraisa there. The Gemara has a whole discussion how many Kohanim are deraisa, Levim. It's a mitzvah there, and some like we mentioned, even Bizman Hazeh. And what's the purpose? Is the purpose to give honor? No, not necessarily. The purpose is to guarantee its sanctity. And just as there is this emphasis in guaranteeing the sanctity of the Mokoim, there is an emphasis to guarantee the sanctity of the truma, of the food. What does the food really represent? It represents what you give the Kohanim. It represents the Kohuna, to guard the sanctity. Every moment that it's not guarded, every moment that there is potential for it to be contaminated, it's vulnerable. That's their charge. That mitzvah is almost like a time-related mitzvah. Everyone will agree with you, will agree that if you have in front of you two mitzvahs, and one mitzvah, the time is running out. And the other mitzvah, you have more time. Let's say for argument's sake, I don't know if it's impossible, let's say Kiddush Levana. Okay, let's say it's the last night of Kiddush Levana. Okay, from the Moile to how, there's a certain calculation, when is the last moment? And you have, let's say make-believe, I don't know if it's possible, let's say make-believe, the last moment is 9:30 at night. You can say Kriya Shema L'chatchila until 12, 1 o'clock, until Chatzos. B'diavad, you can say it until tomorrow morning, Alois HaShachar, you can say it. Even later, you can say it. Almost until, I think, B'diyam, you can say it until Shkia, until sunrise. I mean, until Zricha, until sunrise. I'm not sure you can go so far, but I think in B'diyam, even until then. But Kiddush Levana, it's only the Rabbanon. There's no Deraisa Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana is not the Deraisa. Time is running out. A rabbinic mitzvah, what goes first? If I'm not mistaken, the rabbinic mitzvah goes first if the time, the clock is ticking. When the clock is ticking, you have to do it right away. Something else, you have plenty of time, you have to do so, but the time is running out. It's important to have it done right away. Ushmartem es trumoisai. There's a shmira for the mikdash. There's a shmira for the food of the kohanim. There is, Klal Yisrael is vulnerable. We are exposed. Our sanctity is in danger. The kohanim have a charge to preserve, to safeguard the sanctity. Every single moment counts. They also have other mitzvahs to say Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right now they have a dilemma. What should I do? I can eat the truma, or I can say Kriya Shema. I know what you're going to do. You're going to say Kriya Shema because you have nothing else to do. There's nothing else for you to do, so you better say it. But what about me, the Kohanim? I could say it later. But in the meantime, I have another mitzvah in front of me, mitzvah of eating truma. Who says there's a mitzvah to eat truma? We just proved from the Rambam, there is no mitzvah to eat truma. There's no mitzvah to eat truma. The mitzvah is to make sure the truma does not become tamei. Eating the truma is such a, it sounds a little funny, it sounds strange, but that's really what it is. By eating the truma, it's a very unique way of looking at the mitzvah of eating. Of truma is a guarantee that its mission was fulfilled. The Torah created the mitzvah in such a way, here we're giving you food. We want the kohanim to eat food that is tohor, because we want the kohanim to be people who are pure, holy people. That is critical. Every moment you're going to delay, there's a chance that you are not going to be able to consume food that's pure. If the kohanim are permitted to eat food that's tameh, it's only truma that has to be tar. If they want to go out to a restaurant, because hey, you can go eat food that's tameh, no problem with that. If you're tameh, eat food that's tameh. Are you allowed lechatil to contaminate yourself to eat food? This is the whole shaila. Can a kohen go and if he wants to eat food that's tameh, can he just lechatchila contaminate? Yeah, well, he has no choice. He has no choice. But let's say he has a choice. If the food is better, right? You can go to a really nice restaurant where the food is tameh, or you can go and you can have peanut butter and jelly of bread that's tar, not truma, chulin. What? Chulin. It's chulin. Chulin shenas al taras hakodesh. It's chulin. Peanut butter and jelly. Or you can go to Abigail's. But all the food there is tamei. What's the halacha? It's not so simple what the halacha is. I don't know what the halacha is. Not so simple. But truma! Oh, that you don't have a choice. Every moment that you delay, it's vulnerable. You're gonna compromise on your sanctity. There's a vulnerability. That has kedima. What more is there to discuss? That's the lesson of the first Mishnah in Shas. Ne'emosai korin shma be'arvis, b'shosha ha'koyhanem nechnasam lechel b'trumasan. What are you going to eat truma when you should be saying kriya shma with us? Answer number one, the truma is a mitzvah de'oraisa, like eating matzah. Two mitzvahs de'oraisa, this is choviv. It's choviv to me. It's like lighting ner chanuk in the Beis HaKnesses before you do Havdalah. Like laning koheles before you lane from the Torah. There's no obligation, but it's a mitzvah bol yotcha. It's choviv. I have a right to do this mitzvah. They're both equal mitzvahs. Answer number two, it's not a mitzvah to eat shruma. The mitzvah is the truma shouldn't become tameh. Eating is just a hechatimsa that you guarantee that it's not going to become tameh. Oh, that's even a better answer. That's even a better answer. Because the mitzvah taka is it shouldn't become tameh. That's what your role is, Kohen. To preserve the sanctity of Klal Yisrael. And every moment that you are asleep by the switch, you're not doing your job. just like the Kohanim who stand shmir by the base by the Mikdash, it's not to give kavod, this is not ceremony. It's, I want to see your papers from your rabbi that you're tahar, because we don't tolerate contamination in this makom. When it comes to his own personal consumption of food, we demand that it be done with kedusha v'tahara, and every moment counts. Okay, that's a second answer. Now I want to give you a third answer. Third answer is more of a halachic approach, but it's a mix between halacha and jush. And that is the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The word is uveshoch b'cha, when you lie down to go to sleep. When you go to sleep, the zman shechiva. The zman shechiva, I want to tell you now, is a chiddush. It really is a chiddush, and I have no doubt that people I know would pick me up and throw me out of here for saying this. They would tell me I have no right to say this, but here we're Hamish Oilam. You've tolerated worse for me. B'shach b'cha. The mitzvah in the Torah is said, the mitzvah is when you go to sleep. It's the end of the day. It's the last thing you do in the day. For example, Hasidim. I've always marveled. I marvel certain Hasidim. They very makbid. No, I'm not talking about people who don't daven altogether. People who daven, they'll never miss a minyan. The people that are really good, they're really good people, will never. And not only they only miss a minyan, they're very makbid to daven at the end of the day. Shkia. They only want to daven at the end of the day. I'll be thrilled to daven 1:30. I'm always looking to daven the earliest possible. Yeah, I mean, 1:30, 12:30, 12:45, I'll be the mincha gedoyla. I'm a mincha gedoyla type of person. The pashtus is, it's not really the right time to daven mincha. Like, not the right time, whatever, it's fine, they're perfectly, all the yeshivas daven mincha, that's when they daven mincha. But by Hasidim, okay, those who are calling, the modern term Hasidim, I'm talking about, their approach is just like everyone will tell you without a shadow of a doubt that this beautiful thing to daven kivos sikin, to daven shachris when the sun rises. If you can adjust your schedule every single day to daven shachris so that you come to the Shemoyne Esrei at the moment when the ball of the sun rises above the horizon. Everyone knows a Shavuos, right? Kivos davening, kivos sikin. When the sun comes, the bowl of the sun. The same thing is for mincha. It's the same exact thing. To daven the Shmona Esrei when this bowl of the sun is departing. Ze luuma ze bora elokin. You daven shachris kivos sikin, and you daven mairiv with shkia, so that you end your day with being oymed lefnei hamelech. You start your day oymed lefnei hamelech, and you end the day with being oymed lefnei hamelech.
Mincha, of course.
This something is very beautiful, and there are a lot of people that are very makbid on this. They do this very well. And this is very nice thing. So we appreciate there's such a principle that you begin your day and you end it. Kriya Shema is defined uveshoch b'chom uvekumecha, when you lie down and when you wake and when you get up. The essence of Kriya Shema is a mitzvah that's done at the very, very end of the day. The day is over, and that's the last thing that you do. And in fact, it's not for no reason that Kriya Shema al Hamita Nachamol, you say Kriya Shema again. It's another an element, it's a dimension of the fulfillment of Uveshach V'cha, when you go to sleep. Now, we don't look at it, we Litvaks, we don't look at it like that. We become very halachic. Okay, we all influenced by the Beriska approach. We become halachic people. And we go and we say, oh, when it says in the pasuk uveshoch v'cha, when you lie down, zman shechiva,
oh, it's a, don't read the pasuk. We have a problem. We don't like to read things in the pasuk in its bigger picture. We like to take words and become very technical. We're all like technicians, geeks. We take the word uvishach b'cha, when you lie down. Oh, ziman shechiva. When do people in this world go to sleep? At night. Oh, so the whole night is the zman of Kriya Shema. Okay. Zrize magdimim lemitzvos. When is the beginning of this zman called zman shechiva? Oh, tzei sakachavim. Exciting, very exciting. Tzei sakachavim. So when is tzei sakachavim? 8 o'clock. Are you going to sleep at 8 o'clock? I'm not going to sleep until 1 o'clock. So, but the pasuk says when you go to sleep, zman shechiva. I'm not going to, no. The pasuk says that this Kriya Shema is said during a zman of shechiva. And the zman of shechiva is night. And when does night begin? At 8 o'clock. That's the zman. Zrizim magdimim lemitzvahs, we're going to sit at 8 o'clock. That's when you say, me'emus ha'karn shema ba'arvis, b'sha sh'akam nechlef lach b'chumasan, the earliest possible moment in time, that's the zman shechiva. This is beautiful. Sifosayim yishak. This is a beautiful, beautiful idea. However, the nafkamina is when you have a conflict. What happens if you have a conflict? You have another mitzvah to do. There's another mitzvah. Truma! Don't even get involved now. Don't confuse me with the facts. Is eating truma a mitzvah to eat the truma? Is it a mitzvah that it shouldn't become tamei? You know, I'm not so smart. Don't confuse me with all the facts. Truma is truma. You give the kohen truma. The truma kohen's eating dinner. Eating, and then there's another mitzvah to say Kriya Shema. If there's a conflict between two different things, and one of them is a holy matter, so then we have to look at what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says, you say Kriya Shema, uvishach b'cha, when you lie down. The flavor of the pasuk allows itself to be said later, because later is closer to the time of when you're going to go to sleep. If you have nothing else to do, I'm ready to go to sleep. I'm going to go to sleep now. So now, oh, so you go to sleep. So say it. The zman has arrived. So say it. But when there is something else, if you're dealing over here with Kriya Satoira, it's in the morning. Oh, we have to lay from three Sifrei Torah. We have Chanukah, it's Rosh Chodesh, it's Shabbos. Okay, so now we can have a conversation. Because nowhere are you going to find anywhere, any guidelines to tell me which one should come first, which should come second, which should come third. You have in front of you multiple mitzvahs. We now have to sit down and start making some calculations, making some rules to make an order out of what we should do first. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, it's easy, because the Torah itself tells us that Kriya Shema goes last. So in the first Mishnah, it's right for you, because you have nothing else to do. Kohanim have something else to do. If they have something else to do, so the Torah allowed itself, gave you a license to make Kriya Shema go later, because the whole essence of Kriya Shema is something that is said at the time when you go to sleep, when you lie down. Even though halachically we don't accept that, we don't say Kriya Shema when you're on your bed, we don't follow Beishamai when you're lying on your bed, but the Torah says a word, and that word, it tells us many, many things, but at least in a situation where there's a conflict. Now I want to give you one more. This is really wild. The last thing is very, very wild. Truma, to answer this question also, truma, there are a handful of places in the Torah where we learn the makar of tichias hanesim. Tichias, how do you know in the Torah that there's something called tichias hanesim? This week's parasha. In this week's parasha is one of the most important sources that is going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim. The pasuk says, Unesatem mimenu es trumas Hashem li aharoin ulebonav. So, I think reading Rashi on the pasuk says, what are you talking about? Aharon ulebonav, they're dead, they're gone.
Who are you giving the truma to? And Rashi learns from here, Mikan l'techias ha-mesim in ha-Torah. That you will give. You will come back to life. Aaron will come back to life.
Aaron had died in that pasuk.
Aaron had died in the Satem, Bamidbar Yudches. Let me look at the pasuk. Give me one moment. We're finishing up here for a second. Bamidbar Yudches, Perek Yudches, our parasha, pasuk. Pasuk Chavches, Perek Yudches, pasuk Chavches. It's this week's parasha, Parashas Korach. V'nechshav lechem trumaschem kadagon min agarid v'chamlayo min hayakev kein torimu gam atem trumas Hashem mikol masoshechem asher tichu meis b'nei Yisrael unesatem mimenu es trumas Hashem li Aaron ha-Kohen. This is Pasuk Chavches. Okay, over here, let me see Rashi. Pasuk Chavches. K'mo she-Yisrael merimim migor mi-yikveyem torimu gam atem mimash lechem hi-nechalaschem. There's a Rashi over here, someone. I'm not reading the right pasuk. Then there's a Rashi over here. Says, "Mikan l'tchias hamesim in haTorah." We learn out from Shuma the mitzvah of that there's going to be tchias hamesim. Fascinating. The Torah, by the way, begins with Shuma. Bereishis b'shvil Yisrael shenikra reishis. Reishis. Klal Yisrael is called reishis, and Truma is called reishis. Truma has a lot of very mystical things about it, but it cannot be ignored. It includes this principle of Tchias HaMesim. What is Tchias HaMesim? Life. What is Kriya Shema? Death. Uvishach Bicha, when you lie down. Lying down, sleeping, Chazal say, is 1/60th of death. Okay, the last words a person says when they leave this world is Kriya Shema. Why do they say Kriya Shema? Why is it the last thing a person says when they leave this world, they're awake, if they're zoichet to be awake and conscious, as their neshama departs their body? Why? Why in the Holocaust was it a fact that Klal Yisrael said their last words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Why? Is that the only pasuk that expresses faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You can go through the whole Tanakh, you can find probably 1,000 psukim that express the same concepts, maybe some of them even deeper ideas. Why is the words of a dying person, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? The answer is, it says in the pasuk, Uvishach Becha, when you lie down. These words are said not just at night when you go to sleep, but the ultimate going to sleep. This is the goal. The goal is when a person leaves the world, he should say these words, Rabbi Akiva, Asar Rege Malchus, Kol Yomai, my entire life, I am preparing to die. And a person dies, what do you say? Uvishach Bucha. When you go, you lie down to die, you say, the Torah says, that's when you shall say Kriya Shema. That's the Zman to say Kriya Shema, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What is Truma? Tchias HaMesim, life. What do you focus on? Es achayim v'es hamoves nosati lefonecha uvacharta b'chayim. The living. Don't focus. That's inevitable. That comes later. While you're here, uvacharta b'chayim. So here you have two fellows walking down the street. It's 7:57. Sunset is... Say Sacham is 8 o'clock. This is Drush. This is not Halacha. This is pure Drush, I'm telling you. It's 8 o'clock is Say Sachachavim. It's 7:57. The Yisrael is walking next to the Kohen. The Yisrael says, oh, they're about to start Ma'ariv. Kriyashma. He gives Manshal Kriyashma. He makes a right. Kohen, where are you going? Kriyashma. Where are you going, Kohen? Come with me. The Kohen, I'm going to eat my truma. 8 o'clock, I'm a tful yom. I went to mikvah, I'm going to eat my truma. What do you mean truma? Kriyashma. I'm going to truma. The Kohen says, I'm going to life. You're going to death. Truma. In the satim la'ara, in the makar of tchias ha'meisim is truma. Life. You're going to... when you lie down. That doesn't sound too good to me.
What has kedima? Life has kedima. It's a pasuk. Re'ei nasati lifanecha esachayim v'esamaves. That's right. Maves is a reality. That's the way the world goes. This maves. But I also gave you chayim. While you're here, uvacharta b'chayim. That has kedima. So al derech derush, if the makor of Kriyat Shema is the goal is uvishoch b'cha, you should live your whole life so you should be able, when you go, lie down, achan me'ah ve'esrim, to say Kriyat Shema. Or you can go and you can eat teruma, which represents tchias hamesim, life. The ultimate life, it's pashut. Pashut al derech derush, it's not going to hold up. This will not work in a bezdin. In the Briska Koilel, they will throw me out for saying this, but in the world of Machshava, it's pashut. What do you got? You have over here a choice between the Kohanim and the Yisraelim. Of course you can eat the Tshuma, because Tshuma is Tchias HaNesim, and this is just Stam, Shriva. Okay, so Lamaskan, we have four mahalchim to be mazbe the first Mishnah in Shas, Me'emosai Kerd Shema Be'arvis, the Lomnesh Mahalchim, and some mix of Halach and Agada, and at the end we had pure Agada. Hope you got something out of this. I sure did. Have a good day, everyone.
First time we have a minion in this room.
Oh!
So we have an
Eich. You want to say Kaddish?
No,
I want to plug up your vart. Because the man you be making me make me that man on the machine. He was on the Lost Saints Law Ham. On that, Rashi said, Lost Saints Law Ham. We can't Tchias Amazim. And that's in Kriyashma.
That's the parish of the Hoyim Shemoya.
But that's Kriya Shema, no?
I know, but it's not necessarily a Daraisa. What is the Daraisa of Kriya Shema? It's Machleks and Gemara, it's the first parish, the second parish, the second parasha. The third parish is not Muchach, that it's Daraisa.
All right.
It comes at the end. Oh, thank you so much. Evanuka, it's my grandfather?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What is this?
It's my grandfather. My grandfather.
That's the Reish
Rosh. Hashalom. What's this? Hashalom. V'yesha. Yeshav L'Rabbi Mori Harav Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Dover Shavshuk Shlita. Yitin Hashem V'yu Kol Yomav Al Mei Menuchos. That's the name of the Sefer. Yitin Hashem V'yu Kol Yomav Al Mei Menuchos Beha'arotza, with appreciation, Nachman Kahana. What's Memnon Aleph Tavshin Lamed Vav Yushalayim Ben Achoymos Tibonem Tikoinein.
Some of the
Who wrote this?
What?
Who wrote this shir? Who wrote this over?
It's my grandfather.
Wait, so whose handwriting is this?
It's his, no?
Not my grandfather's handwriting?
It's not?
No, I don't think so. Harav Hagoyin, Shmuel Dov Shavshik Shlita, Rosh Masifta, 12 pages. Who wrote this? Is this not this is handwriting?
Is it a letter?
It looks like it's a copy.
The Yoni Shrita Shaina Ruya Shritas Akum Shritas Shritas Trefa.
Mays
Rav Hagoyin of Shmuldav or Shafshik
Shlita. Someone copy the Shia,
that's what it is. Whose handwriting is this? That was not my grandfather's handwriting, but he wouldn't write Hagoyin by himself. He wouldn't write this. He wouldn't write about it. He wouldn't write the word Hagoyin.
Oh, okay.
Isa so the Gemara. Wow.
He gave me a few things to put in Seamus, and I didn't put it in Seamus.
He gave this to you.
What?
He gave this to you?
Yeah.
So maybe, did he know that he wrote this?
What?
Did he know that this was inside?
No, it was with other papers. There's some I put in Seamus, this for some reason didn't guilty.
Is it his handwriting? What? See, my brother has at home, my brother has all of his ksavim.
Yeah.
And he's in the process of whatever, working on it to make, put out a safer. Yeah. So he would actually, I can match it up.
Yeah.
He can, and also maybe, I mean, well, it's fascinating. Okay, you have to go through this. I'm not knowledgeable to be able to go through this, but I'm sure my brother would appreciate this.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you very, very You're much. Very, very, very precious. Thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
they won't always be there. It should say,
I can print it out. Right. I send you an email saying that I approve it. And I'll try to print it out. I have to get it printed and signed and send it back. I have no problem with it. I sent it to three places. I sent one to Messenger, one to the old email, and then Candy told me you have a new email there. KWPMC.
You're not allowed to destroy it. So then it gets into the burning, wherever other thing. But that's Gemar Pesach.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to use that new one, and I'll send, I'll resend you the approval of it.
Torah to me is very good for me with this stuff.
There's all the Mamre Chazal.
Yeah, but yeah. In other words, if you look up Parshat Korach, he references Parshat Bach.
Thanks a lot.
That's
okay, keep it up.
That's good.
Okay, Shkoyach.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for the sandwich.
Listen, tomorrow you're not getting one.
Okay. Good, I don't know what's going on.
But you're going to get tomorrow's on Wednesday.
Okay, Baruch, how are you?
Baruch Hashem.
You told me a lot of good stuff yesterday. A lot of interesting things there.
Three more pages.
You must have more. I'm sure since you started, more things have percolated in your mind.
I wrote about the Kishon Rama. I have a story.
An amazing story, huh? So, Rebbe Shemaisa. Rebbe Shemaisa. I probably told you sir, about the towels. I told you about the towels.
Yeah.
I love that story about the towels.
I mentioned to you once also that his Rebbe's sensitivity for another yid.
What?
His Rebbe's sensitivity for another Jew. This is the story. He had some type of distant relative who was getting married. And the parents of the chassan, the immediate parents of the caliph, came to the Rebbe's house before the chasna, that the Rebbe should decide who they should give the kibbutzim to. So they made a list of names, they made a list of the kibbutzim. At the end of the day, there was one rav, they had nothing for him. There's no way they could fit him in. Next day was the chasna. Chasna was a Tamisha Asadav. Chasna was a Mishnah Tamisha. Now my Rebbe told me that his Rebbe never ever walked around with a safe when he went someplace. A lot of them take a safe with them.
Yeah, wait, one second. Yeah, I don't know. Where did you find them?
Huh?
Where did you find them? Where did you find them? We're missing.
Like this, the whole stack in the
where?
Cloakroom.
One second.
Yeah,
we'll go
in the cloakroom.
I put one up, but they were all missing. They were not.
The whole batch is there.
Wait, Baruch, one second. He has to show me something. I'll be back in 1 second. I apologize. 1 second. Show me what you found.
We couldn't go to Israel. My wife, last week, my kids went. We have kids that went there. So last week, my kids went to Israel. Then sent a little paperwork. I got them. And now I'm not allowed. It's crazy. So frustrating. But we tried everything, and then someone came in and the first thing in the morning. It was online 5:30. Got there. The president looked at it. All the back of the press send on the thing. It's like, we make you such agnus nefesh. It's inexcusable. Oh, is this the thing that you worked on?
Yeah.
Wow. Is this for me? Well, thank you. Wow. I'm sorry? You know what? I think about $60 just to put stuff in shape and spur up. I had so many things. I had a good lesson yesterday from other people. All my kids at the Norris in high school, Sifta, Smedrish, you know, for some reason they just found their way into the garage or, you know, the room, or they were in the room and then, you know, I figured, okay, some of them were in mint condition, other ones were written on. But yesterday, I put it in and you know, the notes come out and they're great. And I said, you know, note the parents, but before you go make, before you give them rest assurance, you know, someone's going to take it beforehand. You don't want to know, A, who owned it beforehand or what they wrote inside. I don't know what they doodled about Rebbe and what they write about. Okay. Okay, you
Baruch, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry, there's something important that we have there. So he found some, I was missing something very important and he found it.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Okay. What happened was, someone in a relative is his name, Mary, and the day or two before the hospital, some of them were supposed to change the letter to her. And they tried to match up, and she wrote up the list of my mom.
Yeah.
And they didn't represent the position.